Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. And we're going to be joined here in just a few minutes by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. As a matter of fact, we have Clark Lee on the line right now, looking ahead to his first game coming up as Vanderbilt head coach against East Tennessee State this Saturday. With that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. Clark, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Good morning to you guys. I'm doing great. Happy to be with you.
Well, happy to have you with us, Clark. And just what's this week like for you and your staff as all the work you guys have put in over the spring and throughout fall camp to get to this point? Game week is officially here. What's that feeling like as a coach and as a staff?
There's just a lot of energy around it. I mean, we're, you know, it's every day, obviously, you're just creeping closer to the kick. And I think, you know, we started this week prep on Monday, which is a little abnormal. We wouldn't have a full practice Monday. But even then, you feel like you're, you know, it seems like forever away from you. But now we're into Wednesday, and this will be a big practice, the last kind of big practice day for us, and we'll start to taper down. Before you know it, we'll be teeing it up. So I mean, we're excited, a lot of energy around it, and I think just a lot of enthusiasm about the start of the season.
So Clark, yesterday your presser, you announced your leadership group. You have a leadership council, including, you know, both your top two quarterbacks, Ken Seals and Mike Wright. But interesting, not surprising at all that I heard you say Davion Davis would be a captain. And also Elijah McAllister, which is interesting, two defensive guys. I know sometimes coaches try to, you know, have equal on offense or defense or whatever. But I guess why those two? Why were they your captains this year? What have they done to stand out?
Well, it was purely a player vote. And, you know, just like you're saying, there was a lot to consider. I mean, you want balance. You want the kind of equal representation side of ball. But for me, especially with Team One, like, I want it to be authentic. I just want it to be, like, organic. What the team decided best embodies the leadership qualities we talked about. And those two guys really outpaced the rest of the votes by a lot. And, you know, we could have gone from 2 to 6 and had 3 offense, 3 defense and felt pretty balanced. But to me, it was just a matter of these guys clearly distinguished themselves as leaders within this program. I was really pleased with, again, the guys that met the mark to be on that leadership council, too. I feel like we have really good representation there. And it's exciting. I mean, it's one of those things where they earned it. They've earned it from day one. And it's not that they've been perfect, but David and Elijah have had a lot of personal adversity and personal growth, but you know, they've really upheld the standard and moved the standard forward within the program, and so we're really proud of those guys.
Well, you do it. I know you're focused on, like, you know, playing your first year and stuff right now, but I'm just curious, like, will you do it? Like, is it going to be 2 each year, top 2, or, you know, maybe in a given year 3 guys get, like, the bulk, and so you go with 3?
Yeah.
How do you look at that?
No, I think my plan is that every team's different, and that means both the leadership makeup on the team is different and what the team needs is different. And this year was, to me, less is more, right? We're in the infancy as a program. It's okay that we don't have just this, like, you know, huge number of guys getting the top end votes. Like, that's all right. It's part of being early in on this, and we're learning about each other and growing together. But I think as we move forward, you'll see that you'll see growth within that leadership group, within that captain group, and I think every year will be a little different, but certainly open to having more than 2 and open to having less than 2 if that's what's required for the season.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Clark, what do you kind of make of your quarterback room as you head into Game 1 against ETSU coming up on Saturday? Obviously, Ken Seals was announced yesterday as a starter. Very complimentary of Mike Wright as well. How do you kind of view those two and what their roles will be as you head into Game 1 of the season?
Well, obviously Ken as the starter will kind of carry the bulk of the load for us, and he's earned that. You know, he's done a great job in camp and just handling all the I've said this before, but, you know, the quarterback position really needs to strengthen the other 10 on the field, and I think he's shown and displayed an ability to do that. And so, you know, distributing the ball, making good reads, and delivering on time. You know, one thing about a quarterback competition that I think one reason that was important for us to kind of at least internally move beyond that after the second scrimmage is you sense guys pressing in the practice. You kind of can get into some bad habits on the practice field because you're just trying to make every play. And I'm really looking forward to watching him play as the starter with complete confidence, knowing that it's okay to, you know, throw the ball away or, you know, take the check down and just and kind of keep the ball in play for us. I'm excited for that. And then obviously Mike Wright, you know, Mike at times in camp has really shown just great development as a quarterback. He's also the fastest player on our team, which, you know, I'm interested in having all the speed that we have on the field. And so, you know, for Mike to get an opportunity to run some drives as a quarterback and to see if he can spark some explosive play, you know, that'll be also fun to watch and could be a strategic advantage for us and something that we look to kind of build into further as we move along. So both guys will have a role. I'm excited for them to finally line up against a team that doesn't know every split that we're running and every route. You know, it's the nature of camp. And defensively, when you're a good defensive coach, which Jesse Minter is, those guys are anticipating every break and every cut. And it'll be fun to watch Ken and Mike have a chance to go against another team for a little bit.
And, of course, ETSU is very good defensively. You know, last time out, they've had a good defense. I know, Clark, you want to be able to run the football. There was some shuffling with the offensive line. Maybe, you know, the defense probably got the better of them, at least for a good share of camp. How do you feel about the offensive line at this point going into the season? And, you know, Michael Warden, you talked about him a couple weeks ago after a practice, but he's number one in the depth chart. Don't see a lot of walk-ons at Vanderbilt, you know, who are different from, you know, like large public universities, right? I mean, where there's just more possible kids available to be walk-ons, but what has he done also to, you know, to earn that spot?
Well, he's just been so steady and consistent, and it's you know, Wardo's a great, like, he's just a great guy. He's a leader for us. You know, he's on our leadership council, voted in by his teammates. He's a guy that is has a great presence to him. So as a center, you want to have someone who has a command to him, but he also has the ability to consistently start the play and also the ability to point the protections and get everyone heading in the right direction pre-snap. That's been a huge advantage to us, especially as we get going. You know, he'll have to continue to earn that spot just like all the guys that are starters for week one. But I'm excited to watch him and I'm proud of him for his fight and for earning that responsibility. You know, offensively and in terms of the offensive line, it's a group that should come out with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, they're going to want to have something to prove. And like you said, East Tennessee State has a good defense. They have length on the edges. They're solid through the middle. They return the Southern Conference Player of the Year at linebacker. So, I mean, these guys are going to have a plan to put stress on us. And we have to really, really be focused on the execution of the fundamentals, right? It's like that second scrimmage. You know, we can't have pre-snap penalties that sabotage drives. We have to throw the ball and catch the ball. We have to make the reads and try to, again, keep the ball in play against them so that we can put some pressure on their structures too.
So, Clark, we've talked to you a few times since you've been hired, and obviously you've talked about how important Vanderbilt is to you. Have you thought about what this moment is going to be like for you personally on Saturday, you know, as you guys kind of lace them up and go out there for the first time coaching your first game with Vanderbilt? Have you thought about what that moment is going to feel like for you?
You know, it's obviously it's all emotional to me, right? I mean, it's just the whole journey back and the process to this point. I think at this juncture, it's more about the shared experience with the fans and just I think my excitement is just this the first time we can kind of officially open all the doors and get fans in the stands and, you know, have the gold helmets on in the stadium and just kind of celebrate it all together. And you know, part of that is, you know, I want to go out there and have a great performance for everybody. And I know we're going to control certain elements of that, but we're also going to learn a lot through this first game too. And it's a work in progress, but I think it's something that we can all celebrate to get to this point, particularly, you know, as we've kind of fought through the pandemic and, you know, to have the opportunity to get back together and you know, share some football on Saturday, and it being my first time as the head coach here, I think it'll be extra special. So, you know, I'm so steeped right now in the nuances of planning and just all the things that need to happen before we tee the ball up that, you know, I don't know that I've had a chance to really think much about it, but I am excited to get fans in the stands and to share Vanderbilt football with everybody on Saturday.
Clark, on the defensive side of the ball, do you feel better about your depth than maybe you anticipated, you know, taking the job or even going into fall camp? It seems like, you know, you got some good players who have done some good things on the field who right now are at the two level on the depth chart. Some, you know, a guy like Alan George maybe, and I know he's probably going to be out in the field for you at the safety level. Like, do you feel like you have better depth than you thought you would?
I think that those players have done a great job of developing themselves through, you know, through the off season and built that depth for us. At positions, we feel like we're going to be able to have rotation and really, you know, put a number of guys on the field, which is important on defense, particularly with the way teams play offense now. You want to be able to stay fresh, and part of that is, you know, playing multiple guys, you know, at each position. But it's all going to be, like, we're going to learn a lot about that depth on Saturday, right? It's a matter of the guys going out there and again, in practice, you know, you can give up a play and you know, you can pretty quickly learn about it and let it go. In the game setting, it becomes way different. It's a different emotion, a different feeling. And so it really becomes important on defense. Hey, are you playing within the structure? You know, when we need you to fit the A gap, are you in the A gap? You know, when we need you in the post, are you in the post, closing the middle of the field down in coverage? You know, those things to me are going to be, you know, just a heightened sense of urgency with all that those execution points. Physically, we have the numbers, and I hope that we can kind of play, you know, a couple of lines per position. But, you know, we'll need to make sure we're executing at the same time too.
Well, Clark, we're looking forward to things getting kicked off this week and looking forward to Vanderbilt football back in action coming up on Saturday night here in Nashville. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Good to be with you. Look forward to talking again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll come back. We'll take your reaction to Clark Lee. What are you looking forward to in Clark Lee's first season as Vanderbilt's head coach? 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also dive a little deeper into the quarterback position as well for Vanderbilt. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through the inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will take place on November the 5th at Nissan Stadium, and you can register and learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Once again, that's lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee for joining us in the last segment. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Vanderbilt looks like coming up on Saturday against ETSU at home. Obviously, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, just looking for a win at this point. Did not get a win last year. It's been a long time since you've seen a win. Be nice to get one on Saturday night at home against ETSU. And I think Clark Lee, it was interesting to see how he responded to that. And I'm sure he's knee-deep in game plans and, well, who's going to play what and you know, all these different things that lead into the decisions you're going to have to make on Saturday night. But I think it is going to be a nice moment for him going back home, coaching in his first game coming up on Saturday night against ETSU. A special night for Clark Lee on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up. That's a great point by you. So let me see if you can answer this trivia question.
Okay.
When was Vanderbilt's last win and against whom?
Oh, gosh.
Like how I said whom instead of who?
Yeah, see that's that? Pretty good. I mean,
I don't even know if I'm right about that. I'm always so wrong.
It was in 2019.
You got that right.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well done. So, I mean, it's almost 2 years.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if Tennessee lost to Vanderbilt in 2019, but I don't think they did.
No, that was
It Missouri?
They did beat Missouri, but their last win was November 23rd, 2019, 38-0 over East Tennessee State.
Okay.
So it's good to play East Tennessee State sometimes. I mean, look, I think the same is true for Josh Heupel. The schedule works out well because you like the idea of being able to have positivity right away.
Sure.
You know? And I think both of these coaches are going to be 1-0 after this weekend. I think they're probably going to be 1-0 in lopsided fashion. And I think if either of them are 1-0 in non-lopsided fashion, it's a little bit of a red flag. But I think they will be. And, yeah, it'll be, you know, I think Clark Lee from Nashville, a lot of family around here. He's just starting out. I think this could be a really, really interesting coaching tenure for him and maybe some, you know, raising the floor and ceiling of Vanderbilt football. But this team, this first team, you know, it's going to be tough when you get into the SEC. I do think that. I also think, and you have to always keep things in perspective when you're watching practice, a team practice against itself. But I like some of the players they have on defense. I like what they're doing collectively on defense. And, you know, the offense, I think the offensive line is a huge key for the offense because I certainly like both Ken Seals and Mike Wright. I love their receivers. Will Shepard, you know, Amir Abdur-Rahman is a backup receiver because they've got a lot of good Cam Johnson, Chris Pierce. But Will Shepard is a guy to watch for Vanderbilt this year. Sophomore, star of the spring game, but, man, he's a player. And Raymond Davis, the Temple running back transfer, I think could have a good year. So, I mean, they're going to be, a fun team to watch. I'm really interested to see what the Mike Wright usage is, how that works. I don't think it's going to be a two-quarterback system, but Clark Lee said yesterday, it's not like it's just situational like it was for Mike Wright last year when Derek Mason kind of brought him in for red zone possessions. I think he's going to get some series and get a chance to run the offense too. And I think that could work really well if done properly. It's not easy.
No, that's a balance that's difficult to strike. And I don't think it's a big surprise that Ken Seals has been named the starting quarterback. Look, I thought given the circumstances last year, Ken Seals did a pretty good job.
He did.
As a true freshman. So
true freshman,
I'm pretty excited to see what he can do now in his sophomore season here. But it is interesting, and Clark Lee brought it up with us the last segment. He said multiple times now, you know, Mike Wright's the fastest guy on the team. It's hard to keep the fastest guy on your team off the field at any point in this conference where speed is obviously very, very important. So Mike Wright's going to play. I just wonder if Ken Seals is your starting quarterback, could you be in danger at times of maybe putting Mike Wright on the field a little too much for your starting quarterback? I don't know. That's a difficult balance if you're a coach.
Yeah, well, and it's like it's a little different from like the running back. Like remember when Derrick Henry was like splitting time with Deion Lewis, and it's like, gosh, maybe give him like a couple series in a row, see if he can get into a rhythm. That's different than quarterback. But yeah, like if a quarterback's starting to get momentum, and then you switch quarterbacks, you know, that could hurt the other quarterback. So, but Clark Lee said yesterday, I mean, Mike Wright is one of their top 11 on offense. He was one of your top 11 if he's your fastest player. And look, I think Mike Wright's really good. I think Mike Wright could be a really good quarterback. He's got all the tools to be a really good quarterback. It's just that Ken Seals just a little bit better. And I think especially pushing the ball down the field, I think Ken Seals is definitely better, more effective there. And he's good. Ken Seals is good. I agree with you. 0-9, bad team. Came back every week after week, and it didn't look good every week. But for the most part, you had to be impressed.
I think there was improvement as the year went along, too, in a situation where, I mean, let's face it, with your coach being fired, didn't even get to play the last game of the season, everything going on in Vanderbilt football last year, it's hard to stay focused when you're that young. I thought he got better as the season went along. And then, you know, he played well, I thought, against Ole Miss, too. And then Elijah Moore had 700 yards receiving in that game.
And that's the thing that I think will be – I think it'll be better. You wait and see when they start playing better teams. But I think Jesse Minter has really brought something to that defense. I think they're going to be aggressive. It always sounds great. Like, you're going to be aggressive. We're going to get after the quarterback. You know, it's like, yeah, well, there's also a risk every time you do that. But we know Jesse Minter comes from the Ravens, and we know what the Ravens like to do defensively. And I really like some of those players. I think they've got some pretty good players on that defense. Davion Davis, for sure. But up front, they've got a few guys. Michael Owusu and DeRicky Wright, you know, Gabe Judy Lally. I was impressed with him when I watched him in camp. I don't think it's, you know, hopeless. And I think if they can stay healthy with the new, you know, you always get that first-year coaching bump, too. I think sometimes, especially for older players who, like Davion Davis is a veteran now, he's a junior. He came in, you know, really a touted prospect, pretty good player, but now, and he is in great shape. Boy, I'm really interested to see how he does, you know, against some of the top teams they play even. I think that's just the type of guy who could really inspire and help a defensive team play a lot better than it did last year.
So if you're Vanderbilt – and you're a Vanderbilt fan, maybe going to the game on Saturday night or watching the game, what is something that you're looking for outside of the obvious of a win and the way that the quarterbacks play? What's kind of the number one thing you're looking for on Saturday night in terms of the operation, the way things are run, the culture, for lack of a better term, that gets way overused in sports,
culture,
that Clark Lea is trying to establish there in Vanderbilt in his first year?
Yeah, you're looking for low penalties and all that stuff. But even like what Clark was saying to us in that segment, are you here when you're supposed to be here? I mean, you can tell. You can tell in general when you watch a defensive team if they're connected, you know, if they're on the same page, if they know where their help is, if they know what they're supposed to be doing. And that's, I think, what you're looking for. Now, Vanderbilt may just physically overwhelm this opponent, and you won't be able to say that about many. But this one, that may happen. And so it gets a little harder to kind of, you know, to kind of diagnose that. But still, I think you're looking for, I just think defensively in particular, a team that looks like it knows what it's supposed to be doing. We know Clark Lea was a very successful coordinator, defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, a fast riser in the, you know, in the profession. So that's where, if I were a Vanderbilt fan, I would be actually focused on that side of the ball and just wanting to see competence, because I think the last couple of years, especially defensively, I think a lot of his personnel, but just overall, there was just some really bad Saturdays, just all of it not looking good.
Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. You can save cash with a purchase of a $50 gift card for Fat Cap Slims for only $25, a vibrant mid-century American bar and restaurant inspired by custom culture and retro vibes located at 730 8th Avenue South in the Gulch. It's the spot for live music, dinner classics, and the best cocktails you can ask for. Other deals include half off a $25 gift card for Joyland in East Nashville, and you can purchase a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue for only $15. Get your deals now while they last at thegamenashville.com. When we come back, Joe Rexroad has upset the entire state of Michigan with a piece that he came out with yesterday at theathletic.com. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. And Joe Rexroad, we discussed yesterday on the show your piece on Joe Milton, now starting quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll see Joe Milton in action coming up tomorrow night for the first time in a Tennessee uniform as Tennessee takes on Bowling Green. And Joe Rexroad, you are no stranger to both, I guess, endearing yourself to fan bases, but also maybe upsetting fan bases from now and again. I think you've been called a Tennessee homer, a Vandy homer.
Vandy Joe.
Ohio State homer.
Oh, yeah.
Michigan State.
The Ohio State thing's new.
The Ohio State thing is new.
That's a poor thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, I hate your team. I love the team you hate. Well, you guys are putting out the ticked off the entire state of Michigan. Well, not the entire state. A lot of the state of Michigan. I'd say it's about 60-40, probably Michigan, Michigan State. So the 40, see, now you're going to tick off Michigan State people.
That's
who
my
are
goal.
Like, what do you mean? I hate Michigan.
My goal is to get 100% of Michigan ticked off at you.
Yeah, that has happened probably. But, there's a ton. And, I mean, look, I understand it because this is for the Michigan fan who is really starting to wonder about Jim Harbaugh and his quarterback development and his just his inability to settle on things, his OCs, his coaches – and see, you know, it has seen quarterback after quarterback recruited by him transfer away, not paying out, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of those people are going to be watching Thursday night, and they're going to be watching this season to see if Joe Milton at Tennessee has a breakthrough. But I must say, I did not expect this many. There's like 85 comments on this story about Joe Milton, and there's definitely a lot of angry Michigan fans.
What are they mad about?
Well, basically, like, you to sum it up, there's a lot of this is just a Harbaugh hit piece. There's certainly some in there like, oh yeah, Sparty Joe, blah blah blah. You know, look, this is how it works, especially in a state with if you're in a state with like two major like Power Five schools, the beat writer of the school you hate is the biggest homer in the world. So all the Michigan State fans hated my former coworker at the Detroit Free Press, Mark Snyder. Oh, you're the biggest Michigan homer. I'm like, he's not a homer at all. But he wrote a story about Jim Harbaugh went shirtless at his little satellite camp. And what, is he not supposed to write the story?
Right.
Or Jabril Peppers, number one recruit in the country. Yeah, Mark Snyder's going to write a lot of stories about him. Yeah. But that makes him a cheerleader. You know, it's the same way Michigan fans looked at me. Oh, yeah, D'Antonio, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm sorry, he kicks your butt every year. What do you want me to do? You want me to not write about that? I mean, it's – so the fans who closely follow coverage of their teams, the beat writer of the other team is the biggest homer in the world. So there's some of that. Our friend, Vince, who likes to tweet at us, liked all these tweets of Michigan fans attacking me. I noticed that, Vince. I noticed.
We see you, Vince.
Yeah, but – so there's a lot of like, oh, you're just trying to rip Harbaugh, and it's just a Harbaugh hit piece. And again, like, I don't – I feel like this is, if anything, probably more than anything, could be bad luck for Michigan. I mean, the thumb thing is bad luck. And I don't know if the thumb explains everything about Joe Milton last year. I have no idea. His camp, the people I talked to for the story, they feel that way. I think it's fair to say, okay, well, he still played. He still threw the ball. He still made some bad decisions. He still threw some picks. He's, you know,
sure.
How much of that, how much was it the thumb? But it is weird that it was never mentioned. And to me, if Harbaugh made a mistake here, it's not mentioning it, not giving him a little bit of an out. And some coaches are just, I will never talk about injuries. And sometimes that hurts you as a coach. Yeah. And I think in this case, you can make the case that if you just make sure people know that Joe Milton is out there gutting it out and trying to play through a pretty significant injury, torn ligaments on your throwing hand,
yeah,
that maybe there's a little bit more. I mean, this is a rabid fan base, the Michigan fan base. They're like the Tennessee fan base. When a quarterback stinks, they get after the quarterback, okay? So it's like red meat to sharks. So maybe if you give them that information, maybe they ease up on the kid a little bit. And look, his high school coach, he made it clear. I'm not speaking for Joe here, but he was mad. He's like, how does this not happen? And so then he gets buried. And I'm not saying that's why he left. I mean, I think ultimately they switched to Cade McNamara, and maybe he thought he wasn't going to beat out Cade McNamara this year. But I don't think it helped. And I think that's a misstep by Harbaugh. In general, coaches, it's okay to talk about injuries sometimes to give context to how a player is performing.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of them are, but to be fair, there's actually a lot of Michigan fans in the comments like, this is an interesting story. It's a fair criticism of Harbaugh, and I hope he does awesome. I mean, there's a lot of that, too. There's just a lot of Michigan reaction. They are going to be very closely watching Tennessee football this year.
You mean to say the Tennessee Bowling Green game tomorrow night could have some good ratings in Ann Arbor?
I think it could.
One of the top markets for the game?
I think like Detroit Ann Arbor could be pretty good ratings for Tennessee Bowling Green. Again, I think Joe Milton will have some success tomorrow night.
Now, probably so.
I think the next Saturday we're really going to start finding things out. But if it doesn't look good tomorrow night, you know, I mean, real quickly, there's going to be a referendum on last year, fair or not.
Well, and I heard Trevor Maddich talking about this with Jared and Caroline yesterday on Stillman and Company, but there's really not much of a win-win scenario for Tennessee tomorrow night. If you destroy Bowling Green, your reaction is, okay, well, yeah, it's Bowling Green. You're supposed to destroy Bowling Green. If you don't, and they're hanging around, and it's, you know, 24-21 entering into the fourth quarter, Tennessee fans are going to freak out, and they're going to lose their mind. So there's not really much we're going to learn in terms of, like, if Tennessee goes out and wins by 40 tomorrow against Bowling Green, are you really going to learn that much about them? Probably not. But well, you could definitely learn something the other way.
Yeah, except except that if the offense looks good, and even if just the offense looks like it suits Joe Milton and he makes plays and makes throws. I mean, again, even if Joe Milton went out there against air and just looked good in the context of the offense and made I think there'd be some excitement over that, don't you?
There'd be excitement, but how much, I guess what I'm saying is,
what does it really mean?
What does it really mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think there's
limitations.
If they're struggling against Bowling Green, unless Bowling Green is dramatically improved, and I can't pretend to be an expert on Bowling Green.
Yeah, it's some action.
It is some action.
You never know what's going to happen with some action.
You don't. So maybe they've just dramatically improved. But if you're struggling to beat Bowling Green, or, I mean, heaven forbid if you lose to Bowling Green, we'll learn something then at that point.
Yeah.
But so, I just wonder, like, the step up in competition. You know, forget Bowling Green to Florida when SEC play begins. The step up in competition from Bowling Green to Pitt, pretty big step.
Oh, no doubt. You're talking about a head coach who is a head coach because he's a really, really good defensive schemer and motivator and recruits a lot of good defensive players. That will be a very good test of Joe Milton in this offense. As for Vince Lloyd on Twitter, he says, angry Michigan fans? At Joe Rexode, I'm not angry at all. I actually enjoy listening to you on the radio. I don't think anything personal about your article, in my opinion. I just think Milton isn't very good. He can't read coverages, so it has nothing to do with his thumb, IMO. Well, I'm not saying necessarily that Vince was angry, but you liked some angry tweets, Vince. You liked them. I saw you liking them.
We saw the like button on Twitter.
I saw it. I'm going through all your likes, Vince. But no, look, that is I've heard that from a lot of people. And you know what? I mean, Aria Gerson, who covers Vanderbilt here, covered Michigan as a student last year, and we've talked about Joe Milton, and she just didn't think he was very good. And I think that there's definitely more to it than the thumb, and that he has to progress in that way, reading coverages and all that stuff. But let's go back to what Austin Meeks said in the piece, and also we had him on the air last week. You know, I think one of the criticisms of Harbaugh is that maybe there's a little bit too much going on with these guys, and sometimes you simplify things and you play to their strengths, and you get more out of them. So if Joe Milton has a big year this year, maybe, to be totally unfair, but a lot of people are going to look at Harbaugh and say, see, that's how you utilize a talent like this, not the way you did. I still think it's very fair to look at Joe Milton last year and say, not close to a finished product, thumb or not, you know, not – because ultimately, Joe Milton and anybody playing at this level wants to be an NFL quarterback. Well, yep. You got to be able to do that stuff too. It can't all be just simple and you think that you're going to be an NFL quarterback. So you still have to progress there, and I definitely agree with that.
Well, and the one thing that I think he and the rest of the quarterbacks have going for them, and you could say what you want about Josh Heupel, and you and I have talked about at the time, not very big fans of the hire of Josh Heupel. But you do look back through the quarterbacks he's worked with. They've all been productive. Every one of them have been productive that he's worked with. So that's, number one, I think a good comment on his offense. But number two, he has obviously displayed an ability at this point to work with and develop quarterbacks, which I think has got to make you feel pretty good if you're a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, no question. That's the big selling point. Now, it's interesting because It's also the big selling point of Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And both of them were very good quarterbacks, so their whole careers have been, and Harbaugh's got some big wins on his resume. It's just been a while, but no question. And if this works out with Milton, one, you can say, see, he was over here with this supposed quarterback guru, but he came here, and that's look right. What happens. You're going to tell me that's not going to be appealing to high school prospects out there who play quarterback?
It should be. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texting in. The way I see it, we have to blow out Bowling Green to even be able to discuss competing against the Floridas and Ole Misses and Georgias of the world.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go there yet.
No.
But blow out Bowling Green, that's what you want to see. And you want to see a win over Pittsburgh, which, in my opinion, would be a very good win for this team. And it's a nice build, I think, to then get into the SEC. And there's several toss-up games in the league that I think Tennessee could win. But, yeah, we don't need to talk about Georgia and Florida and stuff like that right now.
No.
I don't think those games will go well. Maybe Florida. Florida could be interesting. I don't know what to think about Florida. I think they're definitely a lot better than Tennessee, though.
I got a decade plus of evidence to throw your way of what to think about Florida at this point. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Robbie Stanley, myself, back in the questions chair this week. Looking forward to that coming up next. Take your thoughts, as always, on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And it is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both in sports and in life, and then debate on how we would respond to said scenarios, what choices we would make. As always, we take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I hear Big Joe Dubin was in the questions chair last week. How'd that go?
I feel
like he'd be pretty good.
Eventful.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Everything with Joe was eventful.
Always is.
He also did he and Pogue had done this in the past, the celebrity birthday thing.
Yeah.
Where you try to guess within 2 years. I did pretty well.
Joe, you did pretty well.
Yeah, thank you. I was pretty excited about that.
Sure, that's a great accomplishment in your life.
I didn't do very well.
Well done. I was proud. There was one I was way off on. Who was it?
Just one?
Well, it was one. Yeah, there was one. I forget who it was.
To be honest, I didn't know 95% of the people he was throwing out there. So.
Robbie Stanley, back in the questions chair this week. Back from vacation. Would you like to start with sports or non-sports?
Let's do sports.
Let's start with sports. All right. You can tailgate, in honor of college football beginning, you can tailgate at one college campus that you've never been to before. So a campus you've never been to before, which campus would it be? Which campus would you like to have a tailgating game day experience? Who would like to begin?
Joe, you go first.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy one for me, and that would be LSU. I've been to
Go Tiger.
Been to a lot. Yeah. Hey, you guys, trying to do a press conference over here. That would be a – I've just heard so much about it. I've seen some great ones in the Big Ten and the SEC. Pac-12. Oregon, pretty good tailgates out there. But, LSU, night game, tailgate, sign me up.
Go Tigers.
You'll fry you up some gator?
Yeah, sure.
That's gator. Apparently a big delicacy down there.
I've had gator. I'll eat more.
So I was thinking, too, I was like, do I go Ohio State? Because I hear that's pretty insane. But, I mean, the SEC is...
Just means more.
It's the Mecca.
In the SEC.
Exactly. Well, and now, especially now.
That's right.
I would choose Ole Miss. I've never been to Ole Miss, and I feel like the Grove just looks insane every time I've seen pictures, videos.
Yeah.
Definitely Ole Miss.
I regret my answer. I want to switch to your answer. Yes.
I was going to choose
LSU. But
those
are the top two.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Those are the top two.
No, I so badly want to see the Grove.
So you've never been there, huh?
No.
Really?
I know. Never been to Ole Miss, Auburn, LSU. I think I've been everywhere else. Or Texas A&M. I haven't been there either. So, have you been to the Grove?
I've not. That's surprising to me that you haven't been there, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it changes soon.
My answer is very random on this. And I look, LSU was on my list. Ole Miss was on my list. Even though I don't like them. Alabama is on my list, too. I'd like to see it down there. Get a little Dreamland barbecue. But Washington. Give me Washington. Coming in off the water.
Yeah.
Coming in there to tailgate. Coming into the game. I don't really have much interest in watching a Washington football game. Shout out to Jake Locker. But I would enjoy the tailgating scene coming in off the boat.
If Bob's listening, he's going to be very excited.
Yeah, Bob'd be very happy with me.
Kayla may not be loving. Yeah. Kayla Anderson may not love that answer as a Wazoo grad, but that's a great call. On the water for sure. That's a really good call.
That would be like in your element. The epitome of just in your element. Yeah. Even though the football might not be great, the environment.
Oh, it won't be great.
Whereas Joe and I, we'd get some good football. I mean, I guess depending on the game, but the environment out there would be amazing.
And by the way, Will, there's one of the best places I've seen. Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Little Husker tailgate. Right. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Chris texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Didn't Vingan choose Old Miss as his team he was going to cheer for this year?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. We will never let Adam Vingan forget Old Miss.
We should get Arlo.
Which is team good luck.
We should get Arlo a little Old Miss one.
Little t-shirt? Yeah. Be good
instead
stuff
of the Duke one.
That's right. All right.
Yes.
Switching back to non-sports, you can go back and witness one historical event in American history. So one historical event in American history. What would that event be? Which event would you like to witness in person? One event in American history.
So
there are hundreds of years to choose from.
Yeah. So let me ask a question on that. So when you're watching this event, are you... Because obviously I think of war scene. There's various Revolutionary War stuff.
Yeah.
Like, are you in harm's way? You know
you're
what I mean?
Fly on the wall. How about that?
Well, let me just put it to you this way. Mine was going to be the Revolutionary War.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. And half of it is because I've seen The Patriot, which you just don't like as a movie, but I've seen it millions of times. And I want to go back and find out if it's true. Like, did y'all just walk around in the field, line up, and just take turns firing at each other? Like, I want to be the guy standing in the background says, hey, I'm going to move around a little bit. Try not to get shot
just
back here.
Stand there and then load the musket. Yeah. And I know. Yeah.
It's got to be a different strategy involved at some point.
I think that is. But, yeah, I agree. I agree. Boy, the whole war. That'd be a heck of a
– Front row seat, man.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard.
Thought about landing on the moon. That's a good one.
Gosh, that's actually a really interesting one. Yeah. Can you watch it from the moon?
Sure. Yeah.
And just be the lander.
Throw up
a lawn
chair and watch Neil Armstrong take that step.
Yeah, I mean, that's my answer. I mean, if we're counting stuff that happens in space.
It's American history.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that because I was, you know, like the signing of the Declaration. There's, the Boston Tea Party. I mean, there's so many things come to mind, but give me the moon.
All right.
Okay,
thanks for that answer.
That's a really good one.
That's pretty good.
I was just Googling because I feel like that is such a broad answer, and I'm going to think of something in like 20 minutes and be like, oh, that.
Probably so.
No wars for me. Too violent.
It is violent.
Do that, Robbie.
Fair.
I love the Royals. Oh, wait, does that have to be American history?
Yes.
Oh.
The Royals are out.
The Royals are out.
Nothing to do with the Royals in this answer.
Okay. Brian texts in on the text line, says either the Miracle on Ice or Alex Ovechkin hoisting the Stanley Cup, which I guess does count in American history.
I was going to say like Hall & Oates' first concert.
Yeah.
You know? I
mean, okay,
there's
so many
ways we could go.
How about
this.
I do signing of the Declaration? I cannot speak words.
I got you. The Declaration.
Everybody knew what I was trying to say right there.
The Declaration of Independence. Be like Nicolas Cage. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite movies.
That's right. All right. Going back to sports. You can only watch one NFL or college football game for the rest of your life. So of all the hundreds and thousands of games that we've watched, you can watch one on loop for the rest of your life. Which NFL or college football game would you pick?
Oh, so in other words, I thought you were saying like one series.
No.
Like that's already happened.
It's already happened.
One
game.
College or NFL game.
It can be either college or NFL. One game. And there are a couple of options that popped into my head.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to probably go with the Rose Bowl. with Vince Young beating Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush.
That was one of the options.
I think that's the best game I've seen. Just incredible. And such, I mean, that USC team, ever getting a stop against that team was such an achievement. But then what Vince Young did was incredible. I think I would probably go with that. There's been so many great ones. But
yeah.
I feel like the first one that popped into my head, and it's kind of relevant now because we're seeing Jalen Hurts and Tua on the NFL now, QB1s, but that national championship game.
Alabama-Georgia?
I was actually rooting for Georgia, and they put Tua in. And I remember just standing in front of my TV, like my jaw dropped when they – because you thought Alabama was going to win, obviously, always.
They get the sack of him.
Georgia's got it. And then I was like, yeah. And it was just an incredible moment. But, yeah, definitely that game.
That's a good call.
I think on repeat. Yeah.
I think I would go a little off the board. And
you're not going the natty for the balls?
Well, I probably should. But, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay. I'm just going in terms of the best games that I've ever seen. I'm trying to leave the personal stuff out of it.
Okay.
Give me the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots in that Super Bowl. It was awesome. That was
good
a great
call.
Super Bowl.
Good
the
call.
Philly special, baby.
Yeah.
On loop.
That was fun. That was fun. You know, usually there's like Super Bowl, you know, like a lot of times Super Bowl. For whatever reason, it was just us as a family watching that game. And I remember saying, like, that might be the best coach game I've ever seen.
It was awesome.
Football.
Yeah.
Like, for them to pull that off, they needed all that. All of the gambles and risks he took in that game.
I mean, even Brady throwing for 500 yards couldn't get it done that day.
Incredible.
And who doesn't love watching the Patriots lose?
That's right. Tyler on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Give me Vandy versus UT in 2012. I can watch them hang 40 on Dooley every day for the rest of my life.
See, you're going personal there.
You talk about a game that's at the bottom of my list? That one's there.
Oh, I bet.
Gosh. That was bad.
I'm trying to think. No, that was post-Cutler.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Cutler was with the Bears then. Yep.
Yeah, I think Cutler was 06.
Cutler was like 08. Oh, 06.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right, last one back to non-sports. In honor of my trip to Disney World / Universal last week, in this imaginary theme park that I'm building in Nashville, you can pick 3 amusement park rides to bring with you here. So 3 amusement park rides anywhere in the world. You can put them in this imaginary theme park in Nashville. Which 3 rides do you choose?
Okay. I'm taking 3 rides from the greatest amusement park in the world, which is Cedar Point.
All 3 coming from Cedar Point.
Absolutely.
All right.
In Sandusky, Ohio. There's a lot of other rides I like out there, but the Millennium.
All right.
Absolutely outrageous roller coaster. You know what? Hold on. I'm changing my answer. Okay, the Millennium, yes, from Cedar Point. The Velociraptor, yes, from Cedar Point. That's a legs dangling one. Those two are like my favorite 2 roller coasters, but I'm going to take one from Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, Virginia, the Griffon, which is just, if you look, you Google it, like the hill on the Griffon is, or is it the Griffon or Griffin? I don't know. But regardless, it is wild. So those are my 3.
All right. I like that.
I love how Joe, you just knew right off the, you're like, I got it. Cedar Point, 1, 2, 3.
I'm a Cedar Point, homer, big time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to actually go one from Disney.
All right.
It's in Epcot or something. Not a roller coaster, but it's called Soarin'.
Oh, it's awesome.
And it's this, like,
it's a virtual experience.
Super cool. But it feels like a ride, even though you're not really moving.
It's a good choice.
Technology's crazy. Okay, so I pick that one. The next one I pick is the Superman Six Flags. It's like the biggest drop, even though I hate it, and the anxiety in the line waiting is unreal.
Six Flags, which one?
New England.
Okay.
Unreal. Scared every single time, but it's just so fun. And then the next one I choose, there's a Great Escape in my hometown, and they have a wooden roller coaster called the Comet.
Okay.
It's amazing. You practically get whiplash every time, but like, it's so worth it.
Nice. Very nicely done. I will go with, I'll pick my newest one on there. There's a new ride at Universal called the Velocicoaster. And it is no joke, my friend.
Nice.
The thing is awesome. So, Velocicoaster is on the list. I will go Space Mountain as well from Disney World just because I love that ride.
Yep.
And I've loved it ever since I was a child. And then the last one, give me the Top Thrill Dragster from Cedar Point. That thing is awesome.
That's the one that
goes
up.
Yeah,
right? You know what? I actually have not ridden that one.
It's great.
It looks pretty scary.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's nice. Great. Give me the top thrill dragster.
I love it.
I've never been to Cedar Point, so I guess I need to go.
There are some gigantic roller coasters. Gigantic.
And there's just so many that, like, some of the old ones that used to be the amazing are like, there's like no line. So it's quantity and quality.
My dad has texted me, says the Griffin is also Sheikra at Tampa Bay's Busch Gardens. So it's the same thing.
Really?
It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know the one I'm talking about. It's a wide row.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then you just start hanging over the top and then boom, you go.
Yes.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yep.
Nice. Guys, I have one more Disney one.
Okay.
Can I add a fourth?
Sure.
Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh, love it.
It goes like 0 to 60. And there's a really funny photo. I was like 11 years old and I waited in the singles line next to this hardcore rocker, and he's just got his tongue out the rock side next to him. And he's got a mullet. It's great.
Nice. Tweet it.
Absolutely. Good stuff there. Got a lot of votes on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lots of rides out there. We'll continue to take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans. Roster cut down day yesterday. Any surprises on the list outside of a prominent fourth-round pick? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.